The Joe Mason Show is on in 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 2, 1, 1.
Welcome to the Phil Mason Show. I'm happy to have you here. This is show number 1,000, and I'm really excited to bring that to you. 1,000 shows is a lot of shows, a lot of long nights doing this show, but I'm really happy to do it. Later on, Amar will be here to talk San Antonio Spurs hoops with me, and David Ramil will be here to talk Miami Heat hoops with me. We'll also talk about the future of the show at the end of the show, or in the last segment, but up first, Kevin Durant. He's weighing his options. Kevin Love, he says he's not going to sign an extension no matter where they trade him. And joining me to talk all about that and more, please welcome from WelcomeToLoudCity.com, J.A. Sherman is in the house. J.A., welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, Phil. It's good to be here. Congratulations on quite a milestone. That's quite a track record of just talking about all sorts of sports for every day of the week and just being so enthusiastic and bringing us on. I really appreciate being a part of it.
Well, I'm happy to have you here. And it has been a long, long, long ride.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun, too. In every segment that we've done this week, a listener had a question for me, and you have one, too, right?
I do. And it's maybe a multifaceted question, but what I'm curious about, because radio is all about opinions, right? Trying to reconcile disparate positions on things. And so obviously you're never one to shy away from controversy or taking on controversial topics. So I was just wondering, in these 1,000 shows, which either player or person or even team or situation do you feel like you are on the opposite side of consensus, and either they were right and you were wrong, or you were right and they were wrong? And how did you manage that? How did you kind of play with that? And I think I know where you probably are going to go, because I know Mr. David Stern is out there. So, but you tell me where you think you fall in on that kind of question.
Well, I don't think it's David Stern so much. There's okay. there's a couple athletes that I was very strongly opinionated about that actually help launch this show and get us to where we are. The first would be Lance Armstrong.
Okay, wow.
When I came to Greece, I didn't know much about Lance Armstrong's history, but I kind of believed, I tell you, because I've been in sports all my life and I've been training athletes now for 31 years, I knew something was up, okay? You don't go from your deathbed, and I've had some health issues as well, as you know, and we won't get into those on the air, but needless to say, you don't go from your deathbed to winning the Tour de France. It was an amazing story if it was true, and I wanted to believe it. Yeah. And then he won it a few more times in a row, I guess 7 more times in a row. And when people would tell me, he's doping, he's doping, he's doping, I would say, no, he's not. Come on. The guy's just got a lot of heart. He's just a freak. That's what I kind of wanted to believe that. And when that came out that he had gotten busted, and I had read books about this from the other guys that raced with him, and I started to kind of believe it, but when he did that, I remember coming off the tennis court. It was in the morning, and I had not done my show yet. It was right before I went daily, and I was only on Max Sports channels, and I believe Fat Sports Radio, another station that I was on a long time ago. I let him have it for 45 minutes, because I had defended this guy on the air, defended this guy everywhere. And when it turns out that he owned up to it, I kind of got pissed and I let it fly, That was one. The other one is LeBron James.
Okay.
When LeBron James was playing for Cleveland, and this is where this whole dancing Danny Green thing comes in.
Okay.
When he was playing for Cleveland, I thought he was nothing more than a choker who was afraid to be a finisher in the fourth quarter. And I believe that. And I have friends that live in Akron, and one of them actually knows LeBron. And one of the things that when he decided to take his talents to South Beach, I just ripped him. I said, this is typical of someone who has no courage, no heart. He hooks up with his buddies because he can't carry the freight. And I ripped him every single day, J.A., every day. And when he won the championship, or I should say when the Miami Heat won the championship, I just shut up about him because, you know, he had shut me up. But the one thing that I said when he switched and went and took his talents to South Beach was that don't expect him to stay. The second that he gets the chance, he's going to disappear again. The second things go not the way he wanted. And that's exactly what happened. And I took a lot of heat for that. Just like I took a lot of heat for the Armstrong thing, but I held my ground. You know, when they won, I shut up. I stopped being critical of the guy. But in the end, when he left Miami, it proved out that I was right. And a lot of people realized that perhaps Phil was right about that. So those are the two athletes, I think. Those are the two. There's probably others, but those two are the main culprits.
All right, excellent answers.
And I think that's what got us on the radio, actually, is that, I mean, it got us further. The Lance Armstrong, we wound up number five on iTunes. And that's a big freaking jump. We're not there now because I don't promote iTunes. I don't promote anything on the show, as you know. I just talk sports,
Yep, that's
have some
right.
commercials, whatever, but I don't promote my Twitter. I don't do any of those things. But those are the two guys that I would say would be the most significant off the top of my head, I suppose. One thing that I'm curious about, though, Kevin Durant says he's now weighing his options. Now, I guess that makes sense. He still has 2 more years left in Oklahoma City. What do you think is going to happen with him? Do you think he's going to stay or do you think he's going to go?
Well, I think the phrasing weighing his options really doesn't I think it's more of a media-driven story than anything else because the truth is he has no options. He's under contract for 2 years. And so his only option is to stay. And I think he will. I don't think there's any reason why he would ever try to pull out Carmelo Anthony and force his way out of Oklahoma City. He's got a great relationship with the franchise and his teammates and everything like that. So he's going to be there for 2 years. But what this whole LeBron craziness has dictated is this idea of an elite player, quote unquote, going home. And as you chronicled, LeBron's saga of being in his hometown and leaving and then coming back, that's a nice story. That's something that people can get hooked into and feel like they are connected to him on a human level. If not a basketball level. And so then heads turn to Kevin Durant, who is a native of the Washington, D.C. metro area. And he has a great relationship with a lot of people there. His family's still there. And so people are saying, oh, maybe he's going to go back too. And that just sets off the whole keg, the powder keg of talk and, news, media, sports talk radio, us talking here about it. And but if you look at his words, what he actually has to say about the matter, he has not changed his tune at all as long as he has been in Oklahoma City. And that's always been he will maintain as many options as he can manage. He's going to be loyal to a team and a fan base as long as he's under contract. And he's going to be a good teammate. And so nothing has really changed, even after this interview that he did in the tournament, the FIBA tournament that he's prepping for. He didn't say anything differently there. He just said something that was consistent, but in the context of LeBron's situation, it feels like it's something more. And now we've got all the DC guys just going nuts, saying, "Oh yeah, Kevin Durant's going to come back," and. Yeah, he's going to save the day. He's going to want to play with Bradley Beal and John Wall. They're a lot better than what the Thunder got, and yada yada. And so it just takes on a life of its own. And it once that happens, it's kind of hard to put the brakes on it. And so you gotta let it flesh out like a bad enema.
You're right. And you know, I love these sources too. These are probably people inside sources, by the way. It's probably some kid who went to school with Kevin Durant in the third grade. And you know, he hasn't seen him since. The whole meta narrative about going home is BS, by the way. LeBron James, come on. LeBron James was upset that he didn't win in Miami, so he went back and he'd been planning this for a long time. This was no spur of the moment decision for sure.
Yeah, for sure, because he had to be aware, fully aware, that his team was deteriorating and that they were no longer a contender if they weren't going to win this past season. So it was calculated, but it also has a nice sort of a Norman Rockwell-ish kind of going back home to be with your family and your upbringing and all that. So I can get on board with that, but. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's the way Kevin Durant's going to play out his own career, or even if he would do it in 2016. Maybe he sees that could come into play when he's in the final third of his career. But right now, he's in his prime, and he's playing for a very, very good team in the Thunder, a lot better than the Wizards are. So I think it would be really silly to think that he would abandon ship in Oklahoma City to go for a much more unstable situation in Washington, D.C.
Well, right now, but I think Washington's building something that's pretty interesting, and they're going to be very good, I think.
They
But
are, but look at their history. I mean, how much stability have they had over the past 2 decades? It's more bad than good. And so, yeah, I'm glad that they're heading in the right direction. I used to live in D.C., and it was fun rooting for those teams when they had guys like Gilbert Arenas there and Caron Butler, former Thunder guy. That was a fun team, but they've hit rock bottom for a couple years, and they're starting to get back, but they're nowhere near as stable as the Thunder are.
Probably right, probably right. But you know what? We'll have to wait and see with Kevin Durant.
Yep.
Yeah, I would think that he would be one of those kids, just from what I've watched from him. If he's going to decide that Oklahoma City's not for him, he's not going to just leave them high and dry. He's going to walk in and tell them, "I can't do this anymore. I need to be where I want to be, and you need to just figure out a way so you can get something for me while I'm still here."
Yeah.
That's how you're going to know. He's not going to pull a LeBron James and just leave everybody hanging because he feels like
Yeah.
he's the grandmaster of the NBA. Well, at least we hope not. And it doesn't. There's no signs indicating that that's the case. Not
Yeah.
even any little red flags whatsoever. Durant is what he is. He's a good kid. He's a Christian kid, and he likes playing in Oklahoma City now. And if he doesn't like it later, or he thinks he has to go somewhere else, then he will. Now, he's the complete antithesis of Kevin Love.
Yep.
This is a guy, at the beginning of the week, Kevin Life asked me a question about what two players I wish I never had to talk about again. Kevin Love was the
Yeah.
first one, and LeBron James was the second, and I've done it in my 1,000th show. But Kevin Love, now he's coming out and saying, and you go to Bleacher Report, and it's 150 tweets. Every day they have an update of a Kevin Love, a guy who has never led his team to the playoffs, his team has only won 30 games with him twice. I
Yep.
mean, this is a guy, I don't know where they're getting it. Memphis was smart to get rid of him. I mean, okay, they got ended up with OJ Mayo, but at least Mayo's what he is OJ. This
Yeah.
guy is just nuts. What does that do to the T-Wolves now? He's gonna leave them high and dry. If they he's not going to go back, but yeah, they're not going to get full value for him because who's going to trust him?
Right, because he said he's not going to sign an extension. That now he may accept a trade to the Cavaliers and then become a free agent and then re-sign, but he's keeping his options open. I think it's he's just one of those players who's got such an unusually high level skill set that makes him seem like he's a really good contributor to a playoff contender. And in a way, he is, but in a way, it also shows how far you have to go as an organization in order to be legitimately competitive, especially in the West. I mean, if Minnesota was in the East, they would be a 6 seed, a 5 or a 6 seed, probably. And they might even win a playoff round or two. But in the West, the Timberwolves' problems are so systemic in terms of their ability to draft the right players, to sign good contracts, on how to utilize their talent effectively. I mean, they should be better than they are. And Kevin Love is, it seems like he'd be the kind of guy who could lead that team. And it's a little bit of a mystery to me as to why he can't quite get over the hump. And part of it is of course, injuries, and you can never really fully plan for that sort of thing. But it definitely puts him a rung below some of the other elite players. It kind of puts him in the Blake Griffin category, maybe the Chris Bosh category, where they're really good at their specific skill set, but in terms of being transformative to actually changing the culture of an organization and becoming team leaders, it doesn't seem like they quite have that level of professionalism yet.
That's a good answer. You know what? It's too bad FIBA has rules, because if it were me, I would trade his ass to Turkey or Belgium and let him suffer, because he's just insufferable. Kevin Love, I have no love for Kevin Love. JA, thanks so much for being on the show. I
Thank
appreciate
you.
it. We'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, and let's start for the next millennium here.
All right. That was J.A. Sherman. You can find him over at welcometoloudcity.com. Coming up next, David Ramil and I will talk some Miami Heat hoops on the 1,000th episode of The Phil Nason Show. And we'll be right back.
The Phil Nason Show will return.
And it's the reason Al Gore invented the internet.
After these brief messages.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
Riveting talk radio.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
no.
I think it probably comes from porn as well. You
yeah.
know what I mean? That's got to
sure.
be a big, strong big, thing. Strong
oh, that's thing. Gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Talk radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
If you like baseball, you should be checking out baseballpodcasts.net. It's one of the best places you can go on the internet to listen to independent baseball talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our radio player that can be heard around the world. So won't you tune in and give us a listen at baseballpodcasts.net. You can also listen to the great Phil Nason show here. See you there at baseballpodcasts.net.
Brewtown Sports is your source for Brewers news and notes. Join Mr. Brewtown as he keeps you up to date on all the happenings of your Milwaukee Brewers and Major League Baseball. Follow the show on Facebook and Twitter, Brewtown Sports. Listen 24/7 at brewtownsports.podomatic.com.
Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com.
Hi, this is Phil Nason from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And now.
What a dope. What a maroon.
Back to the Phil Nason Show.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. The Miami Heat are still stocking a roster. And we are going to talk about that. LeBron James, my 1,000th show. Unbelievable, huh? 1,000 shows. And to do all that with me from HotHotHoops.com, please welcome David Ramil to the show. David, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great, Phil. I'm honored to be part of this special moment in your career, and I'm ready to rock and roll.
Hey, man, I'm happy to have you here, too. Now, you've got a couple questions from the listeners' audience because we're going to have a little fun today on show number 1000. And then in the third segment, I will have a very special announcement about the future of the show. But go ahead, fire away.
Well, you know, one of the things that everybody's wondering is, you know, you've mentioned before that you're a big Knicks fan, which, of course, you know, doesn't sit very well with the Miami fans. But, you know, you cover so many teams. You write for the Spurs website over at SB Nation's Pounding the Rock. And you know, you work with me and others. So how does it feel to kind of have to put your allegiances on the back burner as you work with all these other people from so many other teams? And how does that impact you personally?
That's a very good question. You know what? One of the things, and I also write for an Oakland A's site, Athletics Nation, the SB Nation site, one of the first actual SB Nation sites, and I'm not an Oakland A's fan. How did that impact me? Well, I guess I'll tell you how it does it. Fantasy sports has kind of taken away all my allegiance to any team, really. At the end of the day, I play fantasy sports, and I do that almost religiously, kind of like a career, whatever. And so I've kind of put it on a backseat. The whole fandom thing.
Yeah.
It is interesting, though, when I, you know, when I have like the Heat on, because sometimes I bash the Heat and LeBron James and whoever. And those old rivalries, you know, as a fan, die hard. But what I've learned to do is kind of put it on a back shelf, be professional as I can about it. Sometimes I go the other way and be maybe too nice. But it sometimes does pose a challenge, you know. And I know that the fans don't like it much. The Spurs fans don't. The Oakland A's fans, they kind of tolerate me because I've been over there for like 3 years. You know, Alex Hall's been on the show that long. They know that I'm a Tiger fan. What I've done, what I think I've done pretty well is be upfront about these things. You know, and I think that's helped me. I don't like it sometimes when people come on and want to bash the Knicks. But then I do it more than anyone. So, I mean, it is what it is. That's a great question, and that's how I do it. I look at everything fantasy-centric now, and that's helped out a lot.
No, that's great. And I think it's important to keep an open mind. I think, you know, part of being a fan means that you're going to be devoted to a team, but that doesn't mean that you can't engage with people who like other teams. And so I think it's always great to have this kind of open discourse. And, you know, from the journalism side of things, as long as you're open about it, I don't think there's any problem with that. And I always appreciate the fact that you have a kind of a peripheral outside perspective on things, not necessarily being a Heat fan, but you always offer a very in-depth and experienced voice as far as the NBA is concerned. So I appreciate it personally. But there's another question here also, as far as, you know, your selection, as far as the how do you pick who gets to be on the show? How do you work with all the different people from baseball, football, basketball, et cetera? You know, how do you select who gets to be on the show?
Well, what I do is I read a lot of blogs, as you know. I have to, because living in Greece, the games are played during the night when I'm doing my show. So I don't get to see a lot of live games. I still watch about anywhere from 16 to 20 NBA games a week. I watch somewhere between 60 and 85 innings of baseball a week. I do my best to keep up with it, but I go to blogs. And two things that I look for, accurate reporting, and two, I look for how they interact, how the writer interacts with the readers and the commenters. Now, a lot of guys like me don't really comment on blogs, and that's okay. But if you're getting some passionate responses from your writing, there's a very good chance that you're going to get some passionate responses via the radio. And then what I try to do at the beginning of each season, David, is figure out the 6 to 8 teams that I think are going to have a chance to go all the way. Okay. And I bring them on every week. And then I write the emails and I beg, borrow, whatever I have to do to get them on the show. And then, as you know, it's usually if you miss a week, you're probably going to miss two, because to make my life easier, I generally say, hey, can you, when I have you on the phone, I say, what about next week? And that's kind of how you got started, because Surya, this was Surya's gig. And then you came on and pinch hit for him once, and you've been here ever since. That's kind of how I do it, too.
On the Lou Gehrig, and Surya is Wally Pipp, I guess. That's just the way it's worked out so far.
Yeah, Wally Pipp writing for Fox Sports now. Congratulations, Surya.
Absolutely.
He is now covering the Heat and the Dolphins for Fox Sports, right?
Absolutely.
Wow, that's big time. That's great to see. It's always great to see.
He'll still be part of Hot Hoops as the website's manager, so nothing but good things in the future of the Heat and for Surya personally. So we want to wish him all the best here. And I'm sure it's going to be an exciting era for not just him and the website, but also for the Heat. So if you're ready to rock and roll, let's get started.
I will. You know, a listener wanted to know, if you think LeBron will get booed on Christmas Day, when, if he returns to Miami, because the schedule's not set yet. Do you think it's going to happen? How the fans going to treat LeBron James when he first enters Miami and plays against them?
I had wanted to think that we'd be gracious enough, but the more I see responses online, no. I think we're completely going to boo him. I think he's going to be booed pretty loudly, not to the same effect as he was in Cleveland over the 4 years that he was with Miami, where every time he touched the ball, he was booed. But I think he'll be booed pretty loudly. I think a lot of people are very upset and salty. You're a big listener to the Dan Le Batard show, and I think that he's done a very good job of kind of being the voice of the Heat fan. And he recently tried to purchase an ad in several Cleveland newspapers to, you know, kind of say LeBron should have thanked the fans. One of the things that he never did when he left to Cleveland was thank the fans personally. He has his open letter to the people in general in Sports Illustrated, but he never thanked the fans in Miami that kind of put up with all the noise, the media circus, and embraced him the way they did 4 years ago when he first came over from Cleveland. And so there's a little hurt feelings there. So I think, he left. And certainly, I think you'd have to logistically understand that it was a business decision for him to go back there and continue to build his brand and work with the community in Northeast Ohio. But you kind of wanted to get you wanted to end on a better note than the one he did. And I think he's going to be booed very loudly when he comes back, whenever it is, whether it's Christmas Day or whenever. It's not going to be pretty.
Nor should it. That was funny. Le Batard and Stu Gatz decided to buy that ad, or wanted to. Right. And no one would sell it to them. And that's weird, too. I think the whole deal got overblown. I think that the Cleveland people went too far. But you know, you're right. I don't see the Miami Heat fans going as wild as the Cleveland fans did. Cleveland fans act like abused housewives. They really do. They're out there burning jerseys like a woman would do if she caught her husband cheating, burning his clothes. They urinated all over statues and pictures, whatever. And now they're embracing him in open arms again. It doesn't make any sense, but the Heat fans won't do that. They're going to boo his ass, and they should. I mean, he did the same thing to the Heat, what he did to the Cavs, except the Heat fans have been a lot classier than Cleveland Cavalier fans.
Yeah, I mean, but I'd still, to whomever listens, you've always got your opportunity to boo. I mean, it's a right as far as being a fan is concerned. But I always feel like you should kind of be, you know, take the high road, and you shouldn't boo him, because, you know, part of what stood out was the fact that we were so much better, so much more gracious 4 years ago when he came over here, and it was a very us against them mentality as far as the rest of the fan bases in the NBA. He was hated. He was reviled, and he was ours. And so we embraced him. We supported him. Now that he's gone, I understand that why there would be some bitterness, but we should always take the high road and show that there's some kind of loyalty to the franchise, not just a bunch of LeBron bandwagoners. And I think that's what would really stand out more, is if we took that high road, like I said, and just been the better fan rather than give in to the desperation and the anger that most people feel.
Well, the one thing is that half the stadium will be full anyway, because the lower half, people don't start showing up until the 7-minute mark anyway. So
that one will be sold out. I get the feeling that will be sold out, and people will be there in advance. Christmas Day, I mean, that's just so much drama. It's going to be perfect. And I think what they're hinting at is it'll be the first of four matchups with Cleveland, two here, two there, probably. That should be really interesting. I mean, that should be a great matchup, and should be. I mean, I've seen comments from Dwayne Wade. Obviously, he's looking forward to playing against LeBron. Chris Bosch already thinks that it's going to be a very high energy game. So I think this is going to be an exciting matchup. And the personal matchup between Luol Deng, who's taking LeBron's place in the lineup, against James himself, that should be a very interesting one to watch out for. So I'm looking forward to, whether it's Christmas or whenever, it's going to be a great game.
Plus, you know what, with Deng too, he didn't have that much fun in Cleveland, and they gave him a hard time. So he's going to be looking for some revenge as well. So that's going to be kind of cool, I think. It should be an interesting game if it is Christmas Day. The schedule's not out. We're just speculating right now. But with LeBron James, when he didn't thank the fans, that was kind of Bush League. The Levitard thing was pretty funny. I wish they would have allowed that to happen. I wonder how many salespeople got fired over that deal. Because $100,000 is $100,000.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have the money in place either, though. I think one of the things I read was that he was going to get started with this Kickstarter funding, and hopefully enough fans would pony up some money so that they could place the ad. I guess he was just trying to book the space and see if they might run the ad at some point once he did get the funding in place. But, you know, either way, it would have been interesting. But I can understand a Cleveland paper's perspective. They're all happy, feel good at this point. And they want to keep it going. They have their hero back. They're welcoming him again, despite the anger that he showed 4 years ago. And now it's a great narrative taking place over there in Ohio. So let them keep the happy feel good times rolling. And when the trains fall off the track again, because you know Kyrie Irving doesn't want to be told what to do by LeBron James, and he wants to be a superstar and an up and comer, unlike Dwayne Wade, who was willing to take a back seat to LeBron because he had already established himself. He had already won a ring. We're going to see how that takes place. I don't expect Cleveland to be as fluid a process as everybody thinks, that they're going to be an automatic front runner for a title. I don't see that happening, to be honest with you.
Oh, I don't see it. I don't see it happening either. Not even close. Even if they get Kevin Love, I don't see it. I don't see how they're going to coexist, LeBron James and Kevin Love on the court together. I don't see that. LeBron is a defensive player, too. You know, we can bag on him for leaving and doing the things that he does. But he's a pretty good defender, and he expects the others around him to defend. Kevin Love doesn't defend anything except his foolishness, and it is what it is. Michael Beasley, what do you think is going to happen with him? Do you think he's going to end up back with the Heat, or is he going to wind up with the Lakers? What do you think?
I think he winds up going to the Lakers. I'm not sure why he would, although I know it's a good fit in some regards because he'll get a lot of playing time, and that team doesn't look like it's going anywhere. So he'd fit right in. I mean, there's a lot less pressure there, so he can be a contributor off the bench. It seems like there's a lot of dysfunctional personalities there. It's a shame for a Hall of Fame career like Steve Nash's, and to a lesser extent, even Kobe Bryant's career, to wind up the way it's going to. But that team is, I mean, I can't see them seriously competing for a playoff point, and not in the Western Conference as deep as it is. So you've got that team that's got this, you know, mixed matched group of characters there, you know, Swaggy P, Nick Young, you know, kind of jacking up these 3-point shots. Carlos Boozer, who's, you know, he stopped caring about playing defense and being an efficient scorer years ago. And then all of a sudden you get Michael Beasley, who probably had his best run here in Miami last year because of the structure that was in place. So you had a coach who knew how to keep him in line. You had players that were veteran presences there that could kind of hold him, his feet to the fire, make sure that he did the right things, even when he blew his assignments on defense. They kept his head up. You know, he understood what his purpose was to score buckets. And then he's going to lose all that for a team that's highly dysfunctional. If he goes to LA, I don't see Miami wanting him back simply because I think they're going to kind of rebrand themselves as this very high-intensity defensive team, especially with Lou Alding and maybe an in-shape Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh is already one of the better defenders at his position. So it's going to be this great defensive team. I just don't see how somebody like Beasley fits in, even though a lot of people are saying he could be a great scorer off the bench. Let him take those talents, as great as they are, to LA and let him contribute to a team that doesn't look like they're going anywhere. So he can get his minutes, he can get his paycheck, and at the end of the day, hopefully he'll stay out of trouble.
That's a very good answer. Very diplomatic, too. He didn't have a great career with the Heat in his 1 year there, and even before, I guess he was okay. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with him. I hope he stays in the league, and I hope he can keep himself out of trouble. I don't know if L.A. is the best place, but he seemed to be all right in Miami. At least he kept out of the mix, and I think that was important. Great stuff today, David. Thank you so much for being on my 1,000th show, man. I appreciate you having you here.
You got it, and hopefully we're going to be part of 1,000 more.
That's the plan. All right, that's David Ramil. You can find him over at hothoops.com, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the 1,000th Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return.
Next thing you know, they'll be on motorcycles and wearing them leather jackets and zooming around. They'll take over the whole town, a reign of terror.
After these brief messages.
riveting talk radio. Everybody get
up. People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think, and it probably comes from porn as well. You know what I mean? That's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby. That was great.
If you like baseball, you should be checking out baseballpodcasts.net. It's one of the best places you can go on the internet to listen to independent baseball talk shows. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our radio player that can be heard around the world. So won't you tune in and give us a listen at baseballpodcast.net. You can also listen to the great Phil Nason show here. See you there at baseballpodcast.net.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nason Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nason Show.
Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com.
Hi, this is Phil Nason from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And now, back to the Phil Nason Show.
Shut up! Shut up!
Yes! Shut up!
Shut up! You're telling me to shut up?
Please, just shut up! I am so sick of hearing you talking all the time! Don't you ever just shut up?
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. We're wrapping up the 1,000th episode, and joining me to do just that, from slcdunk.com, my new co-host, Amar, is in the house. Amar, welcome to the show once again.
No, I love it. This is the new three-peat.
This is the real three-peat, the real deal, eh? 3 days in a row. The one day is your normal day, Wednesday. Thursday, you subbed at the last minute. And Friday, you subbed at the last minute. And we're very thankful that you did and that you do. Thank you so much for being on the show, dude.
No, it's my pleasure. It's just a good indication that I don't have any social life.
Yeah. And I'm really lucky that you don't, because you've pinch hit all the time for us. Now, we're wrapping things up, and you have a question, and I've been waiting to answer this all week. So go ahead.
All right. So this is number 1,000. And a lot of people stop way earlier. My question is, what does the future hold for the Phil Nason Show?
Wow. You know what? I probably should have stopped earlier, too. I've been doing this a long time, as you know. A lot of long nights. The future is very bright. After today's show, we are going to take a break for the month of August. I won't be doing any new recording until at least Labor Day weekend. The stations already know this, and you knew this already. I told you before. And we're going to do some things differently. The first thing I'm doing is I'm revamping my website. I have a professional fixing it for a change. A very good friend who I trust completely with these sort of things. He just started his business, ironically, when I met him to say goodbye to him. And he had just told me about it. And I said, hey, guess what? You got your first customer. And I'll promote the hell out of you. So that's the first thing we're going to do. The second thing we're going to do is we'll have a blog there. It'll be much different than the other. And where instead of me writing for other websites, I'm going to just write for my own. And I'll do my fantasy articles there. I'll do my commentary on sports there. And everything will be there. And the third thing we're going to do is we're going to do more live radio. When we return, it'll be a lot easier. It's going to be a longer show. It won't affect the podcast or the internet radio stations because I'll still be doing the interviews with guys like you, Omar, and others. But I'll also be doing some live stuff alongside of it. And I think it'll be fun. I'll put those interviews together, make it into the podcast that people listen to every day on the various stations that they find it at. And that part won't change. But we'll be doing live radio, and I'll do some commentary on the side, and we'll have a lot more fun, I think. It's going to be a much better show. These are things that were necessary to do that I never took the time to do, and I should have. And I think it's going to make for a very good radio show. And hopefully we have 1,000 more, Mark. That was a great question. Thanks for asking it.
Well, it's no longer the Phil Nason Show. I guess it's going to be the Phil Nason Station.
It could be. It could possibly be. At some point, that might be what we'll be doing.
But well, with all the content you're bringing, because you're going to be writing, you're doing the live show, which is completely new, and it's going to be long. No, I can't wait to listen. It's going to be awesome.
Well, you'll be on it every day, probably. You'll be able to call in just like everyone else. And plus, you'll have your own thing that we'll do together, as always. But it's going to be a lot of fun, I think. It should be. And it'll bring more sports to people. And it'll be everything will be in one place as opposed to being scattered all over the place. You know, I appreciate writing for these great sites like Pounding the Rock, Athletics Nation, the Majors, Fantasy Team Advice, and others that I've been asked to write for that I just didn't have time. But at the end of the day, we want to keep it all in the same place. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. Speaking of the San Antonio Spurs, the Spurs said no to Manu Ginobili. They refused to allow him to play in the FIBA World Cup. Do you think the team should have the right to decide this for players, or should the players be the ones to decide?
In a perfect world, the team and the players should be able to talk about this quite freely and also maybe involve the other people, the national refs, and come to a decision where they can agree on what they want to do. And I think it's kind of funny that there's always that argument, you know, that Mark Cuban used to keep guys like Steve Nash from playing for Canada when Steve Nash was getting a little bit older. And the argument there was that it's a financial thing. It's a loss for him if Nash gets hurt. Whereas you have some of these other guys, they want nothing else but to play for their national team. Like that was the whole deal that kept that Brazilian player, Oscar, from going to the NBA because back then, the rule was he wouldn't be able to ever play for Brazil again. And like, there's a huge variation there between the players and the different people who actually care about should they play for their team or play for the NBA. In this specific case, I'm okay with what the Spurs are doing. Like, I think Manu has done everything that he can do for his national team. They've even won the gold medal in the Olympics before. So I don't think he has anything left to prove for them. And I think that he's kind of earned the right to not represent his team. Some other players have done that as well. Andrei Kirilenko is not going to be playing for Russia anymore. He's earned the right to not play for them. And soon enough, you're going to see people like Kobe and LeBron and these other stars also not play for Team USA. It's a little bit easier for us because we have much more depth. But the funny thing is, I don't know, did you hear about this? There's a conspiracy rumor about what happened between Manu and Spurs.
I did hear that, whereas they colluded together because Manu was put in an awkward position. He didn't really want to play, and that perhaps the San Antonio Spurs were played the villain. Like when I was a kid, my dad said, used to tell me, whatever you don't want to do that you know that you're going to catch some flack from your peers for not doing, just blame it on me. And I think, is that the rumor you're talking about?
That's precisely it. It's kind of like the Spurs played the role of the bad cop. They get what they want, another restful offseason for Manu. And seriously, the offseason starts a month later for the Spurs than any other team. So this works out well for them.
It does work out well. I'm not so sure there was, because apparently Manu wanted to play. There's an article, a new one up at Pounding the Rock, by Jay Gomez, who lives in Argentina, who follows this pretty closely.
And, I need to check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Anyway, he wanted to play, and he actually wanted a third opinion. Now, I'm going to give my opinion on this. I kind of did Monday, but I'll do it again. Honestly speaking, if I'm the San Antonio Spurs, I have to cover my investment. There's a lot of people who think that the Spurs owe Manu Ginobili, and that's just not the case. They pay him to be there. He's an employee, and I know that people don't like that comparison, but the reality is that's what he is. Now, if he wants to go in moonlight and assume the risks of those things, so be it. And that means I have the right to void his contract if he can't play. At the end of the day, his responsibility is to his contract. I get why he wants to play for his country. I admire the fact that he wants to play for his country. I know he wants to play with his high school buddies again, and who wouldn't? But at the end of the day, the guy has a stress fracture of his fibula. I don't know if any of you out there listening have ever had a stress fracture, but those are dicey things, especially there. The problem with that, now, we're going to get a medical opinion here in a second, but I coached a kid, Amar, who had the same injury, and he could go for about an hour, hour and 10 minutes, and that was it. Because from what the doctor said, now you can correct this, of course, he said that the reason he could do it was because the stress was absorbed between the ankle and the knee, and it didn't cause him as much pain. If he'd had a stress fracture of the foot, he wouldn't have been able to walk. Now, I don't know if that's what that case is, but I do know from my own experience watching this that after an hour, 10 minutes, hour, 15 minutes, the pain went from being dull to very painful. Now, what is that injury all about, really?
Well, there are many different types of fractures. A stress fracture is, I would consider it to be something that you don't want to mess with, because it's not a complete fracture. It doesn't break the skin like a compound fracture. And like my whole idea about that is it's like when I was asked to talk about Joel Embiid and what happened with his deal with his navicular bone. But the whole idea is that the body works as a complete system when all the systems are working close to efficiency. When one part gets weakened, that means that the other parts have to overcompensate, and that puts them at risk. And that's the case here with a guy like Manu. He's much older than a young kid. Like I'm sure that your student was in his 20s or maybe even a teenager. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think he was 16.
Yeah, whereas this is probably the bigger issue with the Spurs as well. If Manu was, 23, 24, and the Spurs had a larger window of opportunity, they would probably not be so touchy about it. But they recognize that there's only a few more grains of sand left in that hourglass that's counting out how big their window of opportunity is. And they can't risk a stress fracture to become worse. They don't want it to be a case where it limits him, limits his mobility, and limits how useful he is to the franchise. So, in my opinion, they are probably doing this with the idea that they're looking at their legacy and they're also looking at the utility of Manu, as opposed to looking at taking a risk. The Spurs do take calculated risks, and this is within their calculation, something that they're not going to deal with. And as a fan of international ball, you want to see the best teams with the best talent play, but this is just not something that you want to play with.
Exactly. And you know what? If they didn't stop him, it would be antithetical to everything that we've learned about the Spurs. And that is, they are team first, organization first, player third, and what players want third. And I think that they just did what they have been doing all along. and that's to protect the team's interests, what's best for the team. And I get why the Argentinian fans are upset. I understand it. I coach international players, and I get the pull. I get why Manu would want to play, because if he doesn't, people are going to call him a coward, a chicken, whatever. It's going to tarnish his legacy. It shouldn't, but they're very passionate about these things, and that's just the way it is. And, well, the bottom line is the Spurs have that. And I'm sure there are lots of little clauses in every single NBA player's contract that we don't know about that prevent them from doing certain things. And I think the Spurs, in this case, by saying no, do two things. One, they protect the future health of Manu Ginobili and the future health of their organization. And I think that that's a very admirable thing, even though they're catching a hell of a lot of flack, and unrightly so. It is what it is, and I applaud them for doing that. Now, the Spurs also, now the schedule hasn't even come out yet, but people are speculating that the Spurs are going to have to travel on opening nights to play against Cleveland. Now, generally speaking, and since 2001, every NBA team defending champion receives their rings on opening night at home. This might not be the case. What do you think about that, Amar? Do you think the San Antonio fans are being touchy about this?
No, I think that this is a break from the norm, and it's not necessarily a slap in the face, but it's definitely a move that is made for the financial bottom line of the NBA. Like, okay, LeBron, they want to publicize the heck out of his first home game back in Cleveland. There's going to be so much media there. There's going to be so much hype there. The tickets are going to be so expensive. The rights for the game on TV are going to be, you know, to put that on ESPN or fight for it if you're TNT or something. There's a lot more money to be made if it's in Cleveland. And it sucks because they didn't win the title. They didn't even make the playoffs last year. LeBron didn't win the title. He's not getting a ring. The Spurs should be getting the ring on ring night, you know, and they will on their first home game of the season, but that should technically be their first game of the season as well. To start the season on the road after you won the title, that's kind of like a, you know, that's not a move that you make if you're celebrating the team that did their best. That's a move where you're celebrating how much market money you could make, or how much, you know, getting the Nielsen's ratings or whatever. You know, it's just, it's about money. It's not about the team that won.
I agree with you too. And J.R. Wilco was accused by a guy from CBS Sports as being a whiny Spurs fan. And that's just not the case. I agree with what Wilco wrote, and I agree with you. I think they should be able to be treated well for this. I mean, they accomplished something that a lot of people, including me, didn't think they would at the beginning of the season, and that's win a championship.
Yeah, they wouldn't have done it to Miami. They wouldn't have done it to LA back when Los Angeles was winning titles. Like, this is, I'm getting even more angry just thinking about it, so I'm just going to be quiet now.
Okay, because you know what? The last time this happened was to LA in 2000.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. I guess I'm no longer being asked to be on your show anymore. Oh, this
no, that's okay. That's okay. I saw this somewhere else, but it's all good. I tell you what, great stuff today, Amar. Thank you so much for being on my 1,000th show.
Yeah, and congratulations, man. Here's to another 1,000.
Well, thank you very much. That was Amar. You can find him at slcdunk.com. And that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Phil Nason Show, number 1,000. There are so many of you out there I want to thank. I want to thank all the stations for believing in me when I got started and put me up there. I want to thank my great friend Dave Lax for pushing me to do this in the first place. There's just too many, and I thank most of you privately. And I want to thank all of you listeners for putting up with a long, long line of mistakes I've made and some bad audios. But I think we're headed in the right direction. I think you're going to like where we're headed next. Until then, y'all take care of yourselves. Be good, and most importantly,
ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.